पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। ॐ ईशावास्यमिदगो सर्वं यत्किञ्च जगत्यां जगत् तेन त्यक्तेन भुञ्जीथामागृधः कस्य स्विद्धनम् कुर्वन्ने देहकर्माणि जिजीभिषेच्छत गोस्वमाः एवं त्वयि नान्यक्रेतोऽस्ति न कर्म लिप्यते नरे असूर्यानामते लोका अन्धेन तमसा भृताः तागुस्तेभ्येत्यापि गच्छन्ति ये केचात्महनो जनाः अये जलेकं मनसो च वीर्यो नैनद्देवाप्नुवन् पूर्वमश्वत् सद्धावतो ज्ञानप्येऽपि तिष्ठत्तस्मिन् नभो मातरिश्वादधाति तदेजति तन्नैजति तद्दूरे तद्वन्दिके तदन्तरस्य सर्वस्य तदु सर्वस्याद्यभाज्यतः यस्तु सर्वाणि भूतान्यात्मन्येवानुपश्यति सर्वभूतेषु चात्मानं ददो नभिजुगुप्सते यस्मिन् सर्वाणि भूतान्यात्मैवाभूद्विजानतः तत्र को मोहः कः शोक एकत्वमनुपश्यतः सपर्यदा शुक्रमकायमव्रणमस्नाभिरगो शुद्धमपापविद्धम् कवेर्मनीषी परिभू स्वयं भूयाथा सख्यतोऽर्थान्यरथाक्षाश्वतीभ्यः समाभ्यः अन्धं तमः प्रविशन्ति ये विद्यामुपासते ततो भूय इदते तमोय उविद्यायागुरताः अन्यदेवाहुर्विद्यया अन्यदाहुरविद्यया इति लुश्रुमधीराणां येन सद्विचक्षिरे विद्यां च विद्यां च यस्तद्वेधो भयगो सः अविद्यया मृत्युं तीर्त्वा विद्यया मृतमश्नुते अन्धं तमः प्रविशन्ति ये सम्भूतिमुपासते ततो भूय इव ते तमोयौ सम्भूत्यागुरताः अन्यदेवाहुः सम्भवादन्यदाहुरसम्भवात् इति शुश्रुमदीरायणां येन सद्विचक्षिरे सम्भूतिं च विनाशं च यस्तद्वेधो भयगो सः विनाशेन मृत्युं तीर्त्वा सम्भूत्या मृतमश्नुते हिरण्मयेन पात्रे
So in this Isavasya Upanishad, oh sorry, we haven't done the Kriya Shraddha first. Oh. ओम पूर्णमदः पूर्णमिदं पूर्णात् पूर्णमुदच्यते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते। ओम शांति शांति शांति। So in this Isavasya Upanishad, we have completed 14 mantras. The Upanishad has only about 18 mantras. So we have so far completed 18 shlokas, 18 mantras. Now, the Upanishad in the beginning, in mantra 1, emphasizes on renunciation. And mantra 2 emphasizes on karma yoga. Then mantra 3, it says, if you are neither doing karma, nor are you in the state of renunciation, then you are actually committing spiritual suicide. That is what mantra 3 says. Now, how the whole spiritual progress pans out is, in the beginning when we are highly desirous, full of desires, we are more prone to karma yoga. So in the beginning you want that lot more karma yoga because the thoughts will not make the person sit down. So we do a lot of activities for our selfish aggrandizement, for acquisition and enjoyment as an end all and be all of life. Then from there we need to slowly progress. In the 12th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, we studied this. So I'm just recollecting those thoughts that we went through in the 12th chapter. He says, when a person turns spiritual, a person has a lot of desires. He cannot function directing all his desires for Brahman and function. He cannot. See, he has desires. I want to acquire things of the world. I want to enjoy. Vedanta says there is nothing wrong in it. So in the beginning, all you do is renounce the result and function. Like for example, during Deepavali or during different gods and goddesses, Janmashtami, Jayanti, etc. We have puja with all kinds of sweets as per our Puranic stories and all that. We have some idea about which sweet is liked by which god, which goddess likes what sweet, what, this and that. So, whether they really like or not, we make all that. And incidentally, we may like them. We indulge in them. In fact, in Deepavali in Chennai, in Tamil Nadu, they eat so much that they also make something at home, which is to digest. You know, that much they eat. So, the idea is, you contact what you desire, but under the purview of dharma. So our karma, all our actions are categorized in different, this way. For example, nitya karma, naimittika karma, kamya karma, nishiddha karma, prayacheta karma. Nitya karma means daily routine obligatory duties. Naimittika karma means special obligatory duties. And kamya karma means desire ridden action. Nishiddha karma means forbidden action. And then prayaschitta karma. I've done some pap. I want to nullify the effect or reduce the effect. So I do certain actions. They call prayaschitta karma. In this, nishiddha karma one should not do. Forbidden actions one should never do. One should always try to do nitya karma and naimittika karma only. But one is not developed so much that only nitya karma and naimittika karma we do. So we also have kamya karma. We also have a lot of kamas, desires. So what do you do? Those desires you fulfill but within dharma. Keeping dharma intact. It's called fulfilling kamya karma within the purview of dharma. So in the beginning, when you turn spiritual, that's what you will be doing. As a very first level of spirituality. So what you will do? You will have an Ishta Devata. To that Ishta Devata, you pray. And then you will live your life working to acquire what you desire, but of course keeping dharma intact. And whatever comes, you accept as Lord's prasad. When you go to the South Indian mandir, they give you prasad. Especially, sometimes I go to the temple in Vasant Vihar, Malay Mandir. There, a lot of people give annadana, So, a lot of food is being distributed as prasad. So, if you happen to stand in the queue to receive the prasad, it's Lord's prasad. So, you stand there in the queue to receive. By the time you are going, you see people being given sweet pongal. Now, you may like sweet pongal and you are expecting when you go there, you will also get sweet pongal. But by the time you go there, maybe sweet pongal is over. And the next thing, I don't know, whatever it is, maybe puliyodara or something, tamarind rice, they'll give you that, which may not be of your taste. Doesn't matter. You take anything they give, throw your rice, put it in your mouth as prasad. So, kamya karma, you have to work for your acquisitions and enjoyments, but dedicated to that Lord under the dharma, taking it as prasad. This is the first step. Next step, what happens? Next step is, you are now, you say, enough is enough. So much of running around and all. I am not really interested in this acquisition enough. Whatever I have is enough. If I have one or two, three cars, that's enough. New models can come. I am not enamored by all that. I have one house, two, three houses, that's enough. Like that, at some point, the satisfaction comes. Mind says, I want to now slowly move towards something higher. So now, you are not interested in even fulfilling your kamya karma. In fact, your kam has reduced. Desires have reduced. So, for example, if you are a chartered accountant, you will say, I am quitting my job. I'm not going to work thereafter to just earn money and buy more house, car, this and that. And you want to study these things. Okay, you say, I want to come and study the ashram. So the ashram also says, okay, come. And then when they come to know that you are a chartered accountant, they say, we don't have anybody who can really take care of our accounts. We have been doing it somehow with so much struggle. So, can you spare some time to take care of these accounts? You also say, okay. Now, there is no salary. There is nothing. They give you meals, you eat, you study and you just take care of the accounts. You are doing the same work what you were doing before. But it is arpana bhav. Earlier it was only prasada bhav with kamya karma. Now, arpana, even your action is given for the higher. No kama, nothing. The second level. Then the third level comes, where the physical activity you are not that much inclined. Inclined means your mind is what? So you want to sit down. So, ekarupa bhakti. To a form. You do ekarupa bhakti. So, saguna ishvara jnanam manasa vyaparam. When you have Ishvara with gunas, attributes, and do jnanam mentally towards that ekarupa, it's called saguna Ishvara jnanam, which is called upasana, which is mental activity, manasa vyaparam. Then from there also you evolve further and go to Vishwarupa Ishvara upasana. You see this entire universe as Ishwara's manifestation. Ishwarupa. Then from there you go to Ekarupa. By the time you come to, Arupa. From there you go to Arupa, which means without form, beyond forms. So initially, it's all desire, slowly, from Sakama Bhakti, which is Bhakti with desire, devotion with desire, you move to Nishkama Bhakti. You move from Saguna Ishvara to Nirguna Ishvara. So ultimate state of bhakti is what? Nishkama Nirguna Ishvara Dhyanam. You will come to that level. So, this is how slowly a bhakta evolves with this. So in the beginning, you all have desires, nothing wrong. So, Vedanta says, you must be doing karma yoga. Don't be doing it as just karma, do it as karma yoga. And by doing all those actions as karma yoga, you can incidentally fulfill your worldly desires also, which is fine. But slowly the mind evolves where you become, the likes will turn into preferences. In the sense, see, I am from South India, so I have certain preferences. You know, I don't mind having this roti maybe few days, but my preference would be rice. Somebody from North India, he doesn't mind having rice, but his preference would be roti. But if rice is not available, you are not going to bring the house down. But initially, things are not going according to your likes. That's it. That's the level one is. Why this is happening? Why Bhagavan is doing only to me? Which means what? Why your neighbor and everybody is sleeping peacefully? Why you are not able to sleep peacefully? You know, that sort of a mindset. Then slowly, slowly, likes will be converted into preferences. And Sri Krishna says, even that person is a sannyasi. He is a nitya sannyasi. One fellow who's turned his likes into a preference. Means it's not a condition. Today is a condition. This air conditioner has to be there. You know, this level of facilities has to be there. From there you move to preferences. Yoga, fine. Nahi, no problem. And then mind goes beyond that and you become sannyasi. So, like that you evolve. So he says, karma will purify you, you will become a renunciate, then from there you go to jnanam, knowledge, and then jnanam, and then realize the self. This is a path. Now you move. Slowly, slowly shed all the extroversion and turn introvert and go fully dedicated for that purpose. That's how it happens. So, the path is only one. Some of us are in the initial stage, some of us are in the middle stage, some of us are in the almost the final stages. That's all. There's nobody superior, nobody inferior. But if you are not even doing that, you're not even converting your actions into karma yoga, then you are doing spiritual suicide. That's what it means. You are doing nothing but indulging in the world. Then you are doing atmahatya. You are destroying your opportunity. The opportunity of having been born as a human being is being thrown away. Then from 4 to 8, we talked about the goal of evolution. From 4 to 8. And then 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. Two sets of three verses. The parody. Almost the same thought is actually repeated, but there are certain subtle differences. In the 9th, 10th, 11th verse, if you see, he uses the word vidya, avidya. Avidya, vidya. So, he says, andam tamap pravishanti ye vidyam upasate tato bhuya ivate tamoyavu vidyayahum rasaha. So, in this 9 and 10 and 11, avidya, vidya, words are used. Avidya means, if you see Swamiji's commentary, I explained both this. I don't know how many of you were there last class and I don't know how many of you listened to the recording. So I'm just recap, doing a little bit of recap of what we studied last week. Because this is little important for us to go to the 15th mantra. In 9, 10, 11, the words used is vidya, avidya. Swamiji simply interprets it in a very simple way to not to confuse us, to get the message delivered. He says, avidya, ignorance, means a person who is involved in the world because he doesn't have knowledge of the self. Vidya means knowledge of the self. Avidya means ignorance of the self. Since he is ignorant of the self, he is involved in the world. That is avidya. Vidya means knowledge of the self, which is about Brahman, Atman, etc. So, what 9th and 11th is saying is, as per Swamiji's interpretation, a person who is involved in the world, he is just, mechanically doing karma, rituals. He is involved. For what he wants? He wants worldly things, all selfish accusations and judgments. And all these kind of things, he adheres to dharma and does from a point of view of just enjoying the world, not moksha as an end. The maximum you will get punya, which will take him to, you know, Pitrulok, maximum Devalok. That's all. So, the result of selfish action is different, and the result of involving in the world is different. In the sense, when a person is involved in the world, acting selfishly, he is lost in the world. Another fellow is involved in the karma yoga, he is also lost in the pleasures that gives. See, I told you, if you do karma yoga and get involved in it, maximum you will go to, you will get punya. See, every action of ours will give you drishta phalam and adrishta phalam. Drishta phalam is what you can see in this world. Adrishta phalam is something that you cannot see, what is called punya and pap. So when you do karma yoga, you get punya. When you get involved in karma yoga, you only get punya. And in this world itself, we are all lost with this material enjoyment. You go to swarga and that's it. If your Haagen-Dazs ice cream is tasting X here, in swarga it is X to the power of 5. In X itself you are lost. In X to the power of 5 you will be more lost. So therefore those who are involved here in darkness, those who are involved there in binding darkness. But those who understood the real value of this, they do unselfish activity here instead of getting just merely doing for acquisition and enjoyment, and get name, fame, power, etc., and get to live even after their death because their name is remembered. And those who do sadhana, karma, bhakti, jnana properly with understanding, for attainment of moksha, they attain moksha. Is how Swamiji interprets these three verses. 9, 10, 11. The same verses 9, 10, 11 are interpreted by Adi Shankara. How does he say? It says, avidya means karma. Because according to Shankaraji, it's karma or vidya. Karma is avidya and vidya is upasana. The other is knowledge. So, avidya denotes karma. Karma and vidya denotes upasana. Like we are Sri Vidya Sadhana. You know, you learn from Vedas and you do upasana. So upasanas are called vidya here, according to Adi Shankara. So some people get involved in karma. They go maximum to Pitrulok and Devalok. Some people get involved in upasana, mental activities. Since mental effort is more than physical effort, they get a little better world. But what is the problem? They go enjoy all the benefits of those worlds and have to come back here. According to your last thought. Or according to your resultant. Because your last thought will be your resultant. You remember in the 8th chapter we studied. Antakale cha mameva sparan muktva kalevaram. Yap prayat is a matthavam. Beautiful, beautiful shloka. Antakale cha mameva sparan muktva kalevaram. Last thought, what it is. If it is of me, you come to me. If it is of something else, you get there. So you will be born again in this world after exhaustion of your punya in whatever form that your resultant deserves. If it happened to be human birth, you can get another chance to exhaust all your vasanas and realize yourself. This is how the whole theory is. So we need to have the basics clear. We have what is called as Sanchita Vasana. Sanchita Vasana means total vasanas. Vasanas are unmanifest desires. From vasana comes thoughts, from thoughts comes desire, from desire comes action, from action again comes vasana. Sanchita means total. From the total punya papa karma, some karmas have fructified. It's like you have, let's say, 10, 20 fixed deposits. One for 10 lakhs in one bank, another for 5 lakhs in another bank, another for 2 lakhs in another bank, another for another 10 lakhs in some other bank. Like that, you have 10, 20 fixed deposits. All put together is your total asset. But out of that, two fixed deposits, one for 10 lakhs and one for 15 lakhs, is maturing today. So like that, some karmas that are fructified, they give you, they propel you to a birth. And those karmas that propelled you to birth are called prarabdha karma or prarabdha vasana. So from the sanchita, few vasanas that fructified push you to this birth called prarabdha vasana. When that prarabdha vasana happened to be human embodiment, you through knowledge can eradicate the balance sanchita, the balance that are there in total, through knowledge. But this prarabdha you have to exhaust only through action, only through experience. So you don't have to worry which is prarabdha, which is sanchita. You gain knowledge, through knowledge sanchita will go. And after sanchita is gone, for all practical purposes, you are a self-realized soul. Okay? Now, the self-realized soul continues to live because of prarabdha. Like the fan, when you switch on, it starts rotating. When you switch off, it doesn't stop immediately because of the initial momentum. So the prarabdha has to exhaust, then the person gives up the body. This is after realization. In case you have not exhausted the sanchita, having been born as a human being, when the prarabdha happened to be a human being, then you have a choice either to add more vasanas to your sanchita or exhaust sanchita. The new vasanas that you will add to sanchita are called agami. Okay. So when you realize the self, the sanchita also goes, you will not add few new vasanas anymore. Then you will only be exhausting prarabdha. If your sanchita is not exhausted at the time of physical death, according to the resultant desire, you will be born again. In between, you collected a lot of punya, so they will temporarily send you to different lokas according to your punya. Pitralok, Devalok, maximum you can go to Brahmalok. In different lokas, you enjoy. And the more enjoyment, the more possibility of you getting involved. So, truly speaking, as person who is interested in moksha, he says, oh Bhagavan, I don't want any punya, nothing. I want realization here and now. It's called, you know, immediate realization. I don't want Krama Mukti. Krama Mukti means realization in stages. I want Kaivalya Mukti, which means now, right now. Why should I delay? Why should I go to San Francisco from Chennai to Hong Kong or Singapore and then go? Why not I go directly if there's a possibility? Why should I have to go through all these things? Like that, moksha here and now, do not delay, even if it is Brahmalok. I don't want to get involved there. This is what the Shastra has said. So therefore, those who involve in karma, they get different results. Those who involve in upasana, they get different results. Those who involve in karma, they get results of what? They go up to maximum Devalok. Those who get involved in upasana, maximum they go to Brahmalok. You understand? But they're all temporary. We should be interested in doing karma as karma yoga because it gives chitta shuddhi and chitta vishalatam. And we should do upasana as upasana yoga because it gives chitta ekagratam. We are not interested in any other punya that it gives. So I don't want to get involved in any of this. So with chitta shuddhi and chitta ekagratam, I get the qualification to gain the knowledge. I become jnana yogyata again. With jnana yogyata, when I listen, instantly I catch it. Instantly I get transformed. Like Jesus Christ says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Otherwise, without purification, you can listen to any number of lectures, doesn't matter, kuch nahi hoga. Nothing will happen. But you got to purify yourself. So karma and upasana is for mental purification. That's all. See, when you do puja, for example, when you first take bath, you are only cleansing the body, physical body. What about the environment? The environment is cleansed by lighting a lamp, by agarbati and by that camphor, arti. The environment is cleansed. And then when you ring the bell and all, the negative vibrations are removed. And then when you do japa, study, etc., it is giving bath to the mind. Manasa snanam, snanam it is. So basically japa, it is japa, ja destroys janma, pa destroys papa. So japa is cleansing of the mind. So we need to cleanse the environment, the body, the negative vibes, the mind. When you are such tattvic person, then when you listen, that itself is enough to transform. I think about 11 years ago or 10 years ago, we started these classes. And then we started Gita. First we did Dhyana Shlokas, which are the introductory verses for Gita. 9 Shlokas we did. Then there was a particular verse. It said, Sarvopanishado Gavo Dukta Gopalanandanaha Partho Vatsasudhi Bhokta Dugdham Gita Amritam Mahat Sarva Upanishadaha Gavaha. Means what? All Upanishads are cow. Dugdham Gopalanandanaha. Sri Krishna, the son of who grew up in what is that place? In UP. Vrindavan. He grew up as a cowherd boy. And the Gopala Nandana is a milker who milks the Upanishad, and the Bhagavad Gita is a milk. And Partha is the Vatsa, means the calf. Partho Vatsa. Sudhi Moktaha. Who enjoys that milk of Bhagavad Gita from the Upanishad, though it's given in the presence of the calf Arjuna, pure intellect alone enjoys. So if you really want to get the benefit of the Shastra, when you sit down to study the Shastra, you should also do sadhana to purify your inner personality. That's why it's very, very important as to what food you eat, what kind of people you move with, what kind of thoughts you are constantly indulging in. All this matters. Everything matters. We think simply by, enrolling to a particular class and understanding the subject is enough. This is how you study in school. They'll give you a certificate. If you don't give any certificate, nothing. So, therefore, those who involve in karma yoga and upasana yoga, they get maximum this kind of loka as a comeback. In fact, they don't do it as yoga. They just do it as karma and upasana. This is the message in 9, 10 and 11. Now, 12, 13, 14, the same message. But instead of karma and upasana, Adi Shankara says, the message is between two different upasanas. The upasanas are called Hiranyagarbha upasana and Prakriti upasana. Now, you may wonder what are these words, Hiranyagarbha and all that. See, for this again, I have to give you the basics. I don't know if we did Tattva Bodha in this class. Maybe we didn't do Tattva Bodha. Tattva Bodha gives all the basics. In fact, it's called as the book of definitions. In Tattva Bodha, he says, first, what is there is only Brahma, Brahman. According to Advaita Vedanta, Brahma Satyam Jagat Nitya Jivo Brahma Iva Na Padaha. That's all. Brahman alone is real. Jagat is Mithya. Jiva Brahma Iva Na Padaha. This Jiva is nothing but Brahman alone. Nothing else. That's all it says. So from Brahman, that is Nirguna Brahman, in that Nirguna Brahman, which is all-knowing, all-powerful, within that, the Maya Shakti is inherent. Right? Now, for example, I have studied these Upanishads, I have reflected on them, and I have digested to whatever extent I have digested. But it is within me. When I come to your house, now, sometimes, I am not all the time in this Kutta, Dhoti and Mala and all that. Let's say, especially when I was in Middle East, during class I am like this, otherwise I am in shirt and pants. So you don't know that I have that knowledge within me. So in Brahman there is that knowledge. When I identify with that knowledge, I become Upanishad teacher. Similarly, the Shakti is inside Brahman. But it is there. When Brahman identifies with that Maya Shakti, that Brahman is called Ishvara. And what is the nature of the Maya? Triguna Atmika. Triguna Atmika means Sattva, Rajas, Tamas is inherent in Maya. So when Brahman identifies with Maya, the name given for that is called Ishvara. Like you say, you know, engineer. Then I'm in pant and shirt, you say he's an engineer. But now suddenly when I'm identifying with his knowledge and talking, you say Upanishad teacher. So like that Brahman becomes what? Ishvara. The Ishvara is the karanam for this entire Srishti. When the Srishti comes, for that matter, when anything comes first it comes in subtle form. For example, this remote that I'm holding in my hand. This remote, before it was brought in this gross form, was first conceived mentally. Isn't it? Anything they do, what do they do? First, they conceive the design. For example, even the cars and all that, the design comes. Then comes the prototype. And then the actual car, they start manufacturing after a while. So the gross comes much later. In between what comes? The subtle. So, Ishvara creates the world at the subtle level first. And the world that is created at the subtle level is called Hiranyagarbha. Hiranyagarbha. Hiran means golden. Garbha is the Garbhasthan. That's why we say, there you have the pure earth, pure water, pure fire, pure earth, pure space. Then it further comes as Virat Purusha, which is this gross air, gross water, gross fire, gross earth, gross space. This is Virat Purusha. So, from that Brahman, Ishvara to Hiranyagarbha, from Hiranyagarbha to Virat Purusha. So, Hiranyagarbha Upasana is what is called as Sambhuti Upasana. Sambhuti means, I am now talking Adi Shankara's interpretation for 12, 13, 14. Because Swamiji's interpretation for 12, 13, 14 is also same. He uses the word Sambhuti as origin, which means Brahman. Vidya in the previous verse. And Asambhuti, That which originated, that he calls it as the matter, the world. So then the interpretation 9, 10, 11 is same as 12, 13, 14. These are Swamiji interprets. But Adi Shankara says, Sambhuti. Sambhuti means what? That which originated. Which means what? Which originated from Ishvara. Ishvara is not originated. Seed form. From seed, what comes out first? Hiranyagarbha. Subtle. You understand? So, Hiranyagarbha Upasana means mentally conceiving of this entire universe as that Hiranyagarbha and worshipping. Hiranyagarbha Upasana. It's called Sambhuti Upasana. In some words, he calls it Sambhava. Both are same. Asambhuti. Asambhuti refers to what? That which did not come into origin. What did not come into origin? Ishvara. So in Ishvara Upasana, our Ishvara Upasana is also called as Prakriti Upasana. So Ishvara Upasana, Prakriti Upasana, Asambhuti Upasana means same. In Ishvara Upasana, Prakriti Upasana, what do? They mentally look upon this entire universe as Ishvara. That's all. So here the comparison is between two Upasanas. So a person evolves to that level where he is doing these Upasanas. So when you do these Upasanas as an individual, not as yoga, then the benefit of Hiranyagarbha Upasana is you get Ashtama Siddhi. So you can suddenly reduce yourself to a level of an atom, or you can increase yourself like big person, or levitate, walk on water, and then, you know, all kinds of these siddhis you can have. But these siddhis have got nothing to do with self-realization. These are psychic powers. That is, these are all at the level of the mind. They've got nothing to do with self. The self is beyond mind. Keep this in mind. So therefore, the benefit you get in Hiranyagarbha Upasana when you just involve in it without doing it as yoga is this Ashtama Siddhi. The benefit in Prakriti Upasana or Ishvara Upasana is Prakriti Layam. Prakriti Layam means, see, just like how we are born and we live for a few years and we die. And generally we say 100 years. Like that, Brahmaji, who lives in Brahmalok or Satyalok, he is also supposed to be having age. And he lives 100 years. 100 years means 100 years of his loka. So the calculation that was given in the 8th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, you should not forget. One day of Brahma, one night of Brahma is equal to so many billions of years. So 100 years of Brahmaji, he lives. After that, Pralayam. Then again, Prabhavam, a new Brahmaji comes. So, when you do Prakriti Upasana, but you don't do it as yoga, what happens? You get Prakriti Layam, which means what? After death, in this Prakriti, till this Brahmaji lives. Now these so many billions of years, in that they say only few lakhs of years has gone. Now there are so many more years. Supposing you do Prakriti Upasana now and you get involved in it. You are not doing it for purification. You are just getting involved in it and you are doing. Then what happens? When that person dies, he will be in Prakriti Layam. Means he won't be born again in this yuga. Till this Brahmaji lives. But when the new Brahmaji comes, a new Kalpa comes, he will have to come back again. So that is also not self-realization. So therefore, these two Upasanas have great benefits. But those who get involved in it, they are also in darkness. So what should they do? They should understand this and they should do it as yoga. When they do it as yoga, what is that they get? They get Chitta Shuddhi, Chitta Ekagrata. Or if you want to go further and you can say, Sadhana Chatushtaya Sampanna. They get Vireka, they get Vairagya, they get Samadhi Shatka Sampati, and then you get Mumukshatva. You are interested in Moksha, you come to knowledge, and through knowledge you realize the self here and now. This is the idea. Now in this one more thing I wanted to say. So therefore, you do karma to purify your mind, you do upasana to purify your mind and then come to jnanam, and from jnanam you realize the self here and now through jnanam. In some cases what happens, somebody does karma and upasana but for some obstacles they didn't come to jnanam. They were not involved in karma and upasana but unfortunately for whatever reasons they could not come to jnanam. So when such person dies, because he has done karma and upasana as yoga, he will go to Brahmaloka. But in Brahmaloka, he will not indulge there. there again, because of his yoga balam, there he gets the instruction, knowledge. He gains the knowledge there, and from Brahma Loka he realizes the self. This is called Krama Mukti. Going to Brahma Loka, like you go from here to Hong Kong to San Francisco. Like that he goes from here to Brahma Loka and realizes the self. This is called Krama Mukti. It's called going in Shukla Gati. Other is going in Krishna Gati. You go and come back. Shukla Gati means bright path. Krishna Gati means dark path. You go and back. So, those people who indulge in this world, go in the Krishna Gati, come back. Those who did everything but they didn't come to Jnanam, they go through Shukla Gati, through Brahma Loka, they realize that. But Shastra wants to tell, don't even choose that Shukla Gati. Choose realization right now. How? Through moksha. Through jnanam. Through jnanam, you realize the self right now. Why delay? Why unnecessarily go to Brahma Loka and then gain this and then go there and all that? So, if these points are clear, then we can move to 15, 16, 17, 18. Because with that, the Upanishad will be over. Because whatever I'm going to talk about, again, 15, 16, 17 and all, we will talk two interpretations. Based on these things that I said. So therefore now I am asking you this question. If anybody didn't understand what I said, you want to ask, please ask right now.
Guruji, I would like a bit more clarity if everyone else is okay on differences in that asambhuti and sambhuti. This actually is quite complex. This verse only sounds very complex. So is it possible to go
now? Not complex, actually.
I don't want to.
I will explain. Right. No, it is actually good for everyone also. I will explain. Even though I explain now, you still go back and listen to my last week's class. But I will explain. Very simple. Sambhuti, asambhuti. These are the words used in mantras 12, 13, 14. In some places, the word asambhuti is replaced with sambhava. Asambhuti is replaced with asambhava. I think vinasham. Yeah. Vinasham. Okay, I will explain. No, don't get confused. You forget what I said just now. Sambhuti. Sambhuti means that which originated. That which came into origin. Correct? That which came into origin can also be destroyed. Therefore, that which came into origin, sambhuti, is what is called vinasham. So, vinasham and sambhuti means same in these verses. Okay? Then there is another thing called asambhuti. Asambhuti means that which did not come into expression, come into origin. It is beyond manifestation. That's called asambhuti. What is beyond manifestation? Ishvara tattvam. So asambhuti refers to Ishvara. What manifested Hiranyagarbha? Therefore Hiranyagarbha is equal to sambhuti. So far is it clear?
So is it like drawing a parallel between Prakriti and Sambhuti in some extent?
Prakriti and Ishvara is same.
Yeah.
Prakriti means in the seed form.
So that's asambhuti.
Yes. Prakriti Upasana, Asambhuti Upasana, Ishvara Upasana, all three mean same.
Okay.
And then Hiranyagarbha Upasana, Sambhuti Upasana, Vyakrita Upasana mean same. In fact, another word for Asambhuti is Avyakrita Upasana. That which came into manifestation, that which did not come into manifestation. You forget about all the Sanskrit words. Only remember Sambhuti, Asambhuti. Sambhuti, that which originated, Hiranyagarbha. Asambhuti, that which did not originate, Ishvara. Okay? So, Upasana means you do Upasana mentally. You sit near the Devata and do Upasana. Taguna Ishvara Dhyanam. So, some people do Upasana with the form, just one form. There are some people in the mind. You know, there is this Srividya Upasana that Lalita Sahasranama and all we've discussed. He talks about the Sri Vidya Upasana. The Sri Vidya, you know, Sri Chakra is there. Now the Sri Chakra is there in physical form also. So some people worship Sri Chakra at home, physically. There are people, for them, they do Sri Chakra Upasana, keeping the body itself as Sri Chakra. They establish Sri Chakra in the body. You understand? In the mind, they do the worship. So, that is Manasa Vyapara, Upasana. See, temporarily I'll give you one more story. There's nothing to do with this spirituality. There are these books called Chicken Soup for Soul. I don't know if you read them. In that, there was one story I read many years ago. During the Second World War so, one German soldier was imprisoned. And he was caught as prisoner of war, but he was treated badly. He was put in a 6x6 cell where hardly there was a small opening through which they will send in food. That's all. Nothing else. And he was living there for a long time. After many years, they released him. Initially, he was so frustrated, he didn't know what to do. He said, let me take my life in my hands. I have no choice but to live in this room now. So he said, what I used to do before, I will go through them mentally. So, when he wakes up, whatever he used to do, he was going through them mentally. And he used to play golf with him. So 4 or 5 hours, 18 holes he's playing. So 4 or 5 hours, mentally he was indulging in golf. So when he was released for so many years later, he was released. He came, after a few days, he went to the golf course. The very first shot, the ball was hit straight. Why this happened? Because he was mentally playing the game. So like that, upasana is mentally you do worship. So, sambhuti upasana means mentally you conceive of the Lord as Hiranyagarbha and worship. Asambhuti upasana means you conceive of the Lord as Ishvara and worship. That's all. The benefit of these upasanas, when you do for a long period of time, in Hiranyagarbha Upasana, I told you Ashtama Siddhi. In Prakriti Upasana or Ishvara Upasana or Asambhuti Upasana, the benefit is Prakriti Layam. But if you do them as Samuchaya, Samuchaya means do them together, but you are doing that as Yoga, then what? You will get what is called as Chitta Shuddhi. You will develop Vairagya. Vairagya for what? Not only for this Maybach car and all this here. Even the big chariots you get in Swarga, you say, are you kicked? I don't want. Indra Loka position, even as Indra, if they give you, you say, Baba, you kicked. So every time when somebody is doing tapas, Indra is agitated because he will become the next Indra. I don't want that position. To develop that Vairagya, when you do these upasanas as Yoga. Don't do them as yoga, those benefits. But if you do them as yoga, samuchaya, then what happens? You develop purified mind. With that purified mind, when you gain the knowledge gets transformed into wisdom. You realize the self here and now. You become a jivan mukta. Thereafter, you only live because of prarabdha. For all practical purposes, you are a realized soul. But if you didn't do that as yoga, you will get these benefits. If you did Ishvara Upasana, you get this benefit of being in Prakriti Layam. Till this kalpa, you won't be born again. But in the next kalpa, you will be born again. So why waste all this time? Under any way, you have to come back. Isme koi shortcut nahi hai. So last week I was telling with the example of suicide. People think, hey, I'm facing a lot of problems. Let me commit suicide. You think you will solve the problem by committing suicide. No way you will solve the problem. What you have done is you only destroyed the physical body. The problem you carry forward to the next gen. You will have to face it. Vedanta says, your karmas, you have to face it. Don't run away from it. Sadhana, your question also is answered. Third wave is coming. Should I go somewhere else or be here? Wherever you go, the waves will follow. So you must face it. You must deal with it. Never try to run away from problems. So therefore, sambhuti, asambhuti, these upasanas have certain benefits, but don't do for those benefits. Do for chitta shuddhi, chitta ekagrata, gain the knowledge, realize the self. This is the gist. Is that okay, Mamtaji?
Yeah, now it's much clearer. Thank you.
Yeah. So, the problem is, the moment swarga and all is spoken about, some of us may think, why not I do that and get there? It may look easy, but doing those upasana is also not easy. In fact, it is easier to sit down and study and understand Isavasya Upanishad than doing these upasana. There will be so many things you got to follow. And if you do something wrong, wrong things will happen to you. You have to be more careful. So within that, there are so many prayaschitta karmas. So that you do yajna, uska itna prayaschitta karma, this, do that, then you, after all that, you say, sir, I made a mistake. I will start coming to your class again. I don't want this, all these things. You don't want in the sense, I am only interested in realizing the self here and now. Why unnecessarily I must get involved in all this? No. So that is the essence. Once we understand this, then, you know, the 15, 16, 17, 18 becomes clear. So, assuming that all of you have understood, now I'm going to verse number 15.
Tanmayena patrena satyasyapi hitam mukham tatvam bhushanna padranu satya dharmaya drishtaye.
Now, this portion, 15, 16 and, you know, 17, Swamiji calls it as drama of realization. And 18, teacher and taught way. Some places you will find all these are called as prayers. Now, whenever we venture into any work, there will be obstacles. Obstacles can come from unknown, obstacles can come from known, obstacles can come from within. To all the obstacles, we pray to the Supreme Power Bhagavan and say, please be with me to handle this. We will have obstacles. So, now, when the student, whether he is a upasaka or following Jnanamarga, he or she is only interested in what? Realization. Upasaka goes through Brahmaloka, Jnani realizes here, that's all. Therefore, the Shastra wants to say, be a jnani. Don't get involved in upasana and, you know, don't come to jnanam at all, don't do that. You should come to jnana. Both upasaka and jnani, what is their goal? There are four purusharthas stopped in Upanishad. What are the four goals? Dharma, artha, kama, moksha. So, upasaka and jnani. For them, what is the goal? Moksha. Artha, kama, dharma is not their goal. Enough is enough. Jitna hai, wo theek hai. You understand? So, moksha. Now, when you are moving towards moksha, there may be some problems coming. So, I want Bhagavan's help to get rid of those problems. So that I can continue doing my tapas. This is what they say in Ramayana also, no? When Sage Vishwamitra was going to conduct a yajna, Rakshas coming and doing a lot of atrocities. He can take care of them, but if he takes care of them, who will do the yajna? So therefore, he wanted Lord Ram and Lakshmana to come with him so that he could, you know, they could deal with those rakshasas and he could do the yajna. So like that here the student is praying to remove those obstacles so that he can proceed in his path towards realization. So again these verses can be interpreted in both ways. One is the path to Brahmalok, one has path to realization. Swamiji takes it as path to realization, he calls it as Dharma of realization, because the path to realization, what is the one which dies? The ego dies. So in 15 and 16, it's the death of ego. 17 is the physical death after the death of ego. When a person destroys the ego, ego dies, he becomes Jivan Mukta. And he thereafter continues only because of Prarabdha. And when Prarabdha is over, even the physical body dies. He attains Mahasamadhi. And that physical death after realization is spoken in verse 17. The death of ego, which happens before the physical death, is talked about in 15 and 16. This is what Swamiji says. So 15 and 16 is drama of realization, death of ego. Which means what? The person is interested in centralization, he is working towards centralization, is going towards centralization, and there are obstacles, he's praying to remove them. This is Swamiji's interpretation. So let's see that first. Then comes second interpretation, which is according to Adi Shankara, because Adi Shankara's line of thought is what? Upasana. So Upasaka will go to where? Brahmalok. From Brahmalok he will realize. So in that sense he interprets. So as long as you understand, no problem. Hiran mayena patrena satyasya apihitam mukham. There's the face of the truth is covered by a golden disc. Hiran mayena patrena. So by a golden disc, satyasya apihitam mukham. Satyasya mukham apihitam. So the face of the truth, satyasya mukham, here is taken as the face of the truth, the moksha dwaram, when the ego is merged, that place where you enter moksha is covered by golden disc. O sun, so the prayer is addressed to sun, and the sun god is taken to represent Brahman here. You understand? So, he says, Lord Sun was the guru of sage Yajnavalkya. And Yajnavalkya is the one who compiled the Yajurveda Samhita, in which Ishavasya Upanishad is a part. So therefore, Lord Sun is addressed here, but Lord Sun is addressed as what? Brahman, O Sun. Tattvam Pushan. Pushan means nourisher, the sun. O sun, remove it. Remove what? That dazzling sun, you know, that dazzling effect. Remove it so as to be seen by me. Tattvam Pushan Apavrina Satya Dharmaya Drishtaye. So he says, remove that dazzling obstacle so that it can be seen by me. And who am I? He says, who is the nature of truth? Satya Dharma. I am through disciplines purified. So I am qualified. So I am knocking at your door. You better open the door. Don't give me obstacles. It's a demand. It's a command. Even though it's a prayer, it's a command. Like we in the end, we say, Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. We are commanding. What? Let there be peace. Why let there be peace? Because I am qualified to study this. So I want peace. I'm not demanding. I want peace. So I'm commanding the universe. And I'm not asking peace for my personal benefit. I want to attain moksha. And a person who attains moksha will be only doing what is good for the whole world. Therefore he deserves. Therefore he, you know, of course with humility, but with with confidence he addresses. So, sun god is addressed here to remove the golden disc. And what is the golden disc here? It's given in Swamiji's book. When you are in the last stage, where the ego is going to merge with Brahman, the last stage, the obstacle, is the very thought of that Brahman. You prepare the bed to go to sleep. You took bath, you prepared your body, you had meals, you kept the room cool, you know, switch on the AC, sab kuch tayar karke, bed bhi tayar, go and lie down. Now, you have the thought of sleeping, but you are so involved in the thought of sleep, that thought of sleep itself will not allow you to sleep. Similarly, the very thought of Brahman or very thought of realization is the last obstacle. You can bring yourself to that point with your effort. The last thought going is not in your hands. This is a concept spoken in verse number 66, chapter 18 of Bhagavad Gita. Sarva dharman parityajya mamekam sharanam braja aham tva sarva papevyaha moksha ishyami masutaka. In other words, you give up all dharmas, come to one thought of realization, I'll give you realization. What it means? That's what Swamiji beautifully puts in this book. He says, human effort up to that point is prudential, the rest is providential. Beautiful words. Prudential, providential. Up to this point, prudential. You have to use your intellect, work hard with intelligence, intellect, bring yourself to that last thought. But abhi, you are addressing the Brahman. I have come to that last thought. Take out that obstacle. Give me realization. Now, it's in your hands. You please open that up so that I can realize this. You understand? So therefore, Hiranmayena Patrena. This golden disc, it's shining. See, Brahman is the enlivening principle. The enlivening principle is that which enlivens everything in this universe. So it's talked about as golden, shining. You know. So, Hiranmayena Patrena Satyasya Apihitam Mukham. Satyasya Mukham is taken here as Mokshadwaram. In this interpretation. In the other interpretation, the path is Shuklagati. I told you. Shuklagati means what? Path of light. Krishnagati means path of darkness. So it's, in fact it's called as path of sun and path of moon. So the path of sun. So in the path of sun you are praying to sun god only. So he prays to sun god because I'm coming in the path of sun to Brahma Lok, Satya Lok, Brahma Lok, Satyasya Apihitam Mukham. Satyasya Mukham means entrance to Brahma Lok. The second interpretation. You understand? Satyasya Apihitam Mukham in the first one is entrance to Moksha. The second one is entrance to Brahma Lok. So Upasaka, he will only go to Brahma Lok, no? So he is praying, the entrance to Brahma Lok, you please make sure, you know, there are no obstacles. Before your car goes, if you are a chief minister or a prime minister, all the police cars and everything, policemen, they come from morning, all the obstacles, everything removed. You know, there's a car standing on the road, there, who is this fellow, take it out, everything is removed. All obstacles clear. Why? Now the Prime Minister has to go. The Chief Minister has to go. So like that, you know, Hiranmayena Patrena Satyasya Atihitam Mukham Satvam Pushan. Again, the same thing. The rest is easy. Remove it. So as to be seen by me. Who is the nature of truth? I have done a lot of upasana. I have done tapas. I have followed disciplines. Therefore, I deserve. So you should do this for me. It's a prayer. So he is doing this prayer after preparing. So we also should do all the prayers after preparing. And prayer will give us strength to prepare even better. You do no preparing, no nothing, simply pray and then say, kuch nahi ho raha, kuch nahi ho raha, kaisa hoga. So therefore, one is the path to Brahmalok and realization. Other is direct realization. These are two interpretations. We'll conclude here. Next week we'll do 16, 17 and 18. So my request to all of you is, even those who have not attended today, wish to attend in future and understand the Isavasa Upanishad, I would recommend they listen to last week's class and this week's class, the recording, and then come so that next week, I don't know, God's grace, God willing, 16, 17, 18, we'll conclude. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate Om Shanti 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 Om Kayena Vacha Manasendriyairva Udhyatmanava Prakrite Svabhavat Karomi Adhyat Sakalam Parasmai Narayana Eti Samartayami. Hari Om.